If you'd open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 5, we'll read the entire chapter beginning in verse 1 through verse 21, but focus really on verses 14 and 15, the message this evening. So now as we prepare to come to God's Word, let us come to Him first in prayer. God bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word to us this night. Open our hearts to see both things that are old and new in Your Word, that we might rejoice in the revelation of Yourself that You have given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and through this Word that points us to Him, that we might not leave this place unchanged. And now we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Well, I'm going to bring up two terms that many of you have probably not heard, but I know there are a few here who have heard them. Pro and noob. Now, don't worry if you haven't heard these terms. I know that those little children, some of them mine, know these terms because they have to do with video games. I hear this all the time. Are you a pro or are you a noob? In other words, are you a professional? Do you know what you're doing? Are you good at the game? Or are you a noob? Are you a newbie? Are you new at it? Do you not know what you're doing? And so I hear these words. Oh, I'm a pro. I'm a noob. So I've introduced you to some new terms that you might not have heard before. But what does this have to do with prayer? Well, I think that it has to do with our confidence in prayer. Because if you and I are honest with ourselves, when it comes to prayer, we can often feel like noobs. Right? Sometimes we feel like, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I know what I'm doing. And sin can come in and it can assault us, and Satan can assault us, and we can think, does God hear my prayers? Am I confident in my prayer life? And so tonight I hope to, as we look at this, offer you some encouragements for prayer and some practical tips for prayer as we conclude this series on prayer by looking at this confidence that we have. Now, John is finishing his first letter here in chapter 5. He begins chapter 5 with this: whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. He says two things here: faith and love. We believe in the message of the gospel, and we love those who also believe in the message of the gospel. And he goes on to bring this out in the letter. But as we come to verses 14 and 15, John begins to talk about this confidence that we have because of all these things, because we have believed in Christ, because we love the brethren, because, as we'll see in a moment, we have knowledge of eternal life. We know that we are saved. We can have a great confidence. Now, this is the second place in John's letter that he has spoken of having confidence before God. In fact, if you flip over to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, John writes, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." And so the first thing John tells us in his letter is that we can have confidence when we are obeying God's will. But the second thing that he tells us we can have confidence is that if we pray according to God's will, so obeying God's will and praying God's will, we can have confidence that God hears us. But the opposite is also true. When we're not obeying God's will, when we're walking in open sin, we can lose that confidence. When we're not praying according to God's will, but we're praying according to our own will, we can lose that confidence in our prayers. But also know that the ability to obey God's will, the ability to pray God's will, come from one source, and it's not ourselves. It comes from our vital union with the Lord Jesus Christ, our connection to him. It is Christ who has both revealed the will of God to us, and it is Christ who also works in us that we might do the will of God. And so that's why I hope to show that this confidence is directly tied to the work that Christ has done, who gives us, through that work, eternal life. So as we look at this tonight, I want you to see that our confidence in prayer is directly tied to our position in Christ and the promises of God in him. Our confidence in prayer is directly tied to our position in Christ and God's promises in him. And I'm going to do this by looking at two things. First, answering the question, why can we pray with confidence? Why? And then second, looking at how we can pray with confidence. Maybe looking at some practical things that we can do to pray with confidence. So the first question we want to answer is, why can we pray with confidence? Well, the first reason is because we have come to know God in Christ. Look at verse 14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him." In who? In the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a confidence. This word here, translated confidence, is the same word that is used in both Hebrew chapter 4, verse 16. Come with boldness, come with confidence before the throne of grace. And also, as we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness," same word, "having confidence to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." So this word translated confidence has the sense of boldness to enter into God's presence. That's the confidence that we have. Boldness to enter into God's presence. But the reason that we have that confidence is because of what Christ has done. So we have to back up a little bit and see how verses 11 through 13, given right before this, provide the backdrop for the confidence that we have. So I want you to look at this with me. Verse 11. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So this confidence that we have comes from the eternal life that God has given us in His Son. And because of that eternal life, we know, verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have present eternal life and may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So the confidence results from knowing that we have eternal life through the work of the Son, because life is in Him. And so because we have that life, we can enter in with confidence to God through Him. But the second thing that we need to understand as to why we can pray with confidence. First, we can pray with confidence because we know God in Christ. But second, because we have come to know God's will in Christ. So look at verse 14 as we continue on. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So, what is the one condition that John gives here in verse 14 for being heard? Well, it's that we ask anything according to His will. But the Lord Jesus has revealed the will of God to us fully for our salvation. And it's been given to us now in His Word. So we'll see later how the Word and understanding the Word and praying the Word is tied into praying the will of God. So we need to know God's will, but we also then need to come to God understanding His faithfulness. So three things here. Why we can pray? Because we are in Christ, because we have God's will revealed to us through Christ, and because we know God's faithfulness to us in Christ. Notice in verse 15, and we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, and we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So there are two things that John says here, we as believers know. We as those who have confidence in Him, who ask things according to His will, know first that He hears us. That He hears us. And second, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's fascinating here to think about this. We know He hears us, and we know that we have what we have asked of Him. We have. This is in the present tense. John doesn't say here, we know that we will have in the future what we have asked of Him according to His will. But we know that we have now. Our requests of God that are asked according to His will are, in a sense, answered now. They're answered now. And yet, in God's wisdom, the results are perceived sometimes in the future. So, the prayer that we pray according to God's will is answered now by God, even though the results might be perceived in the future as God works that out to His own will. What John is telling us here. It's amazing, isn't it? And we might put it this way, God does not write checks that He cannot cash. No, it is certain when we pray according to His will that He hears us and that we have what we have asked for. And why is that? It's because God has promised always to do His revealed will. God cannot not do what He said He's going to do. Because that's not who God is. A couple of verses that I want to draw your attention to. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. Speaking of Christ, for all the promises of God in Him, that is in Christ, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All of the promises in Christ are yes and amen. There's a certainty there. And again, Hebrews chapter 10, read earlier in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful, and he will do it. So why can we pray with confidence? We can pray with confidence because we know God in and through Christ. We have that relationship with him. We have eternal life. We know his will. He's given it to us that we might pray it. And we know his faithfulness, that he will do exactly what he says he will do. Now, it's one thing, isn't it, to know something. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing to take what we know to be true and to put it into practice in our lives. And so now that we've looked a little bit at why we can pray with confidence, I want to talk about how you can put this into real practice in your life. How can you pray with confidence? Well, the first thing that I want to give you as we think about how we can pray with confidence is that you need to pray according to your position in Christ. Pray according to your position in Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? And I think that we'll talk about some hindrances to prayer or some hurdles to prayer later. But what I mean by this is confidence in Christ is the opposite of shame. Now, think about what happened in the garden. Think about pre-fall. Adam and Eve walked in the garden freely. They had no shame. They had a confidence that they could enter into the presence of God. And yet, what happened after the fall? What did they do? When God came, they hid. They had shame. They lost confidence to come into the presence of God. Well, in Christ, that shame has been removed, hasn't it? That shame of sin, that barrier between God and man. Why? Because when God looks at those who are in Christ, he sees Christ and all of his righteousness. And so, simply coming to God and understanding that when God looks at you, he sees Christ, and that you can come with such a boldness, as bold, not presuming upon God, but coming in the same way as God might receive his own dear son. So that's the mindset. And, you know, some helps to that, I think, are to memorize a few passages of Scripture, to know this passage that we're looking at, 1 John 5:14-15. But another one, and a great one that I would encourage you, if you struggle with this or want to be reminded of this, is going back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. Let us come boldly. Why? Looking back at verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so the first thing there is to come, and to come with boldness, to pray then according to our position in Christ. But we also have to understand this condition that John gives us in chapter 5. He says this condition is that we ask according to his will. So we need to pray. We need to learn to pray according to the promises of God. According to the promises of God. Now, in order to pray according to God's will, what do you think you need to know? I think you need to know what God's will is. Right? So in order to pray the promises of God, in order to pray according to his will, you have to know them. In fact, our effectiveness in prayer is closely tied to our knowledge of God's word. Because that is the ammunition, as it were, for our prayers. Now, here's the problem. We often come in prayer and we bring our own wills. And it's not wrong to come and ask for those things that are on our heart. But we ought to come first and foremost filling our mouths with God's will. In fact, the older authors called this pleading the promises of God to him. I love this verse in Job chapter 23. Job 23 and verse 4. Job says this, I would present my case before him, that is before God, and fill my mouth with arguments. Now, what this doesn't mean is that you're to argue with God. Who can do that? But what Job is saying here is, what I need to do is I need to so order my prayer to God, fixed upon His will, and bring these things before Him. Pray His word. Now, what are some examples of praying God's word? Or praying His promises? Well, praying for things that we know God has revealed to us. This morning we learned about that prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what was the primary aim of His prayer but the glory of God? Pray for the glory of God to be manifested. That prayer is always answered. How about the Lord's Prayer? We pray, as we've learned last week, we pray for our daily bread. We pray that God would forgive us of our sins. We pray that He would deliver us from evil. These are things that God wills to do, so we can pray in confidence for them. How about our growth in Christ and in our Christian walk, our sanctification? Yes, because God's word says it is His will for us to be sanctified. How about that we will be received into glory at the end of our lives? Yes, because this is God's will for His people. And so all of these things, and the way that we pray with confidence is we know and meditate upon the word of God. We put the Word of God in here and in here so that we might let it flow freely from our mouths back to Him. I tell you, there's no better practice than taking God's Word, especially the Psalms, and just spending some time reading through them, and then taking them and refashioning and forming them and praying them back to God. You will be blessed by it. And let me talk quickly, though, as we think about praying to God and how to pray according to His will, some barriers to prayer and some hurdles to praying with confidence. Now, here are some barriers to praying with confidence. The first one is praying with an unforgiving heart. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Jesus speaking says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." What Jesus is teaching here is, if you're coming to worship me, if you're coming to approach me, and you recognize that there is sin, then deal with that. So praying with an unforgiving heart. Praying with unbelief is another barrier to confidence in prayer. The book of James in chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. James says, "Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." We cannot approach God with confidence when we approach Him with unbelief. Now, how is it that we are to deal with that? Well, pray for faith. We see that modeled in the Scripture. "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Pray for faith. God will answer that prayer. Another barrier to praying with confidence, James, in James chapter 4, tells us, then in verse 2, "You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." You do not have because you do not ask. So what's a barrier to coming in confidence? Well, not praying. You do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, he goes on in verse 3, "You do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." And so the fourth barrier is praying with selfish ambitions. So these barriers to praying with confidence, praying with an unforgiving heart, praying with unbelief, failing to pray at all, or praying with selfish reasons. Those are going to keep you from any confidence whatsoever in prayer. But what about the hurdles to praying with confidence? These might not be as great as the barriers, which really are sin, but these are things that might hinder you in coming in full assurance and confidence before the throne of grace. And I think one of the first ones is, you might say, "My sins are too great. My sins are too great. God will not hear me." Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you, that is the greatest time to pray. when you have conviction of sin, that is the greatest time to pray. And if that is something you struggle with, then I encourage you to memorize 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the truth of God's Word. You come to Him knowing that He is a God who forgives sin. How about, I just don't know how to do it? I don't know how to pray. Well, then confess your weakness to God and pray that He will teach you to pray. God, I don't know how to pray. I'm weakness. Even the disciples said this. They had been with the Lord Jesus. I'm sure they had heard Him pray on many occasions, and yet they said, Lord, teach us to pray. We're weak. And again, praying according to His will. Let the Bible be your guide. The Bible is the source book, isn't it? Especially the Psalms. And a couple of resources that might help in this that I would recommend. One, Matthew Henry's A Way to Pray. It is a great resource that has many prayers that he has written out that take Scripture and bring it into language that prays it back to God. Great example there. But also a more modern book by Don Whitney, Praying the Bible. It's a smaller book, but a very good resource on how it is that you can start this practice of praying God's Word. And I want to encourage you not to give up. If you begin in this practice, don't give up. It's kind of like riding a bicycle. And when you first learn to ride a bicycle, it's difficult. But after a while, it becomes second nature. And so I encourage you that prayer will be like this. Continue to do it. How about this hurdle? God isn't answering. Well, I think when we say God isn't answering, we are really saying, well, God isn't either answering how I want Him to answer, or God isn't answering fast enough. But we know from this verse in 1 John that God does indeed hear prayer. And He does indeed answer prayer. Prayed according to His will. So pray with humility, waiting upon the Lord, knowing that He hears you and will answer in His perfect timing. And how about this one? I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to pray. Well, I would say you don't have time not to pray. You need to pray. You need to be in prayer. You know, every person has time to do what's most important to them. They do. So really saying, I don't have time to pray, is really saying prayer isn't that important to me. But I want to encourage you, it is important. So as we think about these verses and as we wrap up this series on prayer, I want you to have a greater confidence in prayer. In fact, every Christian can have confidence and assurance in prayer, coming to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know God. We know Him. He is our Father in heaven. He hears us, and we know He is faithful and will answer our prayers. And so for the Christian, prayer isn't just throwing something out there and saying, oh, I hope that this is going to be answered. God answers every prayer. He may not answer it how we want Him to answer it. He may answer it no. He may answer it not right now. But He'll always answer it according to His will for our good. So we can pray with this great confidence. When we pray His Word, there's no doubt. No doubt that He hears us and answers. But this is not something that comes easy. Don't think that prayer is going to be easy. There's opposition to prayer in your own flesh. The world around you, Satan hates prayer. And he will try to stop you at every point. It will be a struggle. But even though it requires that you dedicate time to it, it requires that you dedicate effort to it, practice, it is well worth it. Well worth it. And so I want to encourage you tonight and even throughout your walk to not only to know about prayer. It's one thing to know about it, but to be about prayer. To be doing it. To put these things into practice in your life. Because I guarantee when you do, you will not be disappointed. Amen. Let's pray.